Welcome to a brand new episode of the Football Corner, Munch's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
My name is Shreyas.
If you guys are new, old, catch us wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, CastBox, and more.
And please follow us on all social media, that's at Muncha Podcasts.
So we have a bunch of exciting updates and news from the world of football to talk about. We have concrete updates in terms of restarting dates for the English Premier League, the La Liga, the Serie A, and most likely the Champions League as well. So we're just going to, why don't we just dive right into this? Talking about Project Restart, which is a name I'm still not comfortable with for some reason.
So
I don't know why it has to be a name. Why do you have to name it?
Because it's the Premier League and it's the British, and it's just an Anglo way of doing things, I guess.
Okay, fine, whatever. I'm just happy football's coming back, man. So June 17th is the day.
Right.
Where we'll actually see EPL action. It'll be back in our lives on our TV screens.
Absolutely.
So everyone has played 29 game weeks except for City and Arsenal, which was a game that was pending, and Aston Villa and Sheffield United.
Right.
So those are the two fixtures that are going to be played on the 17th. Everyone gets level on 29. And I think 20th to 21st is the first round of fixtures that we're going to see.
Right.
So, if I'm not mistaken, these guys are having a meeting today to decide worst case scenarios and venues and neutral venues, getting all of that boring stuff out of the way. But from what is already decided is the UK government gave an okay to start whenever you want in June.
Right.
So, 2021st is the first round of fixtures that we're going to see. One thing, just to clarify in terms of like how they plan the logistics of it is... I think there are going to be 5 subs that are going to be allowed per game.
Yes.
But there is some sort of complication there in terms of how that functions, right?
Right.
So what's the specifics of the 5 subs rule?
Right. So what we know from before is that 3 subs are allowed in the game, and assuming a team makes a single change every single time minus halftime, that means they are stopping play thrice for each of those players.
Right.
They're going to stick to that. So each team has 3 breaks plus the halftime. That's 4 breaks. Mm-hmm. So if a team ends up using all 5 substitutes, one of those 3 will have to be 2 players and not 1 player.
Got it. So double substitutions most likely, unless you're doing multiple at halftime. So the game can only stop thrice.
Right. Which actually makes sense, but as a manager, as a squad, as fitness, as match sharpness, all of that, I think it's a world of pain. Whether you're mid-table, whether you're on top, whether you're fighting for fourth place, whether you're Liverpool, I'm sure this is anxiety that they didn't need. And yes, the title is inevitable, but like how we were talking off camera about, the day or the match that they finally win that Premier League, how is the crowd going to react? Are they going to segregate outside? So it's weird how such a small thing in terms of 2 lines, in terms of a policy or a rule, you know, says that, okay, this is what we're doing. And obviously in the bigger picture, it's there to help everyone. But the consequences and the ripple effect is just brutal. And it's going to be really interesting to see not just the Premier League, but all of the top 5 leagues, or technically without the French, the top 4 leagues of Europe, finish this season, Champions League and stuff. So this subs thing is going to be really cool. I wonder if we're going to have more subs on the subs bench as well.
Yeah, I think that's something they're discussing. There's nothing official there, but like a bigger list of subs that you can have on available on the bench as well, right? It's kind of important. It's from the same sort of school of thought that we don't want to put a lot of pressure on our players. There's been such a big break, and then all of a sudden just subjected to like 2-3 matches every week. And then also I think a couple of key news pieces that are missing are what exactly is going to be the date of the start of the next season, and when is the transfer market going to be, right? That's something that you and I have discussed a lot, because what's most likely going to happen is that there's going to be regular football being played when the transfer window is open. So when a player is transferred, does he immediately leave, or do all the transfers only come into effect once the season is concluded. There's a lot of ifs and buts when it comes to this, but because of the number of rumors you hear on a daily basis, and especially during lockdown because people have nothing else to do, we've been hearing them tenfold. So I'm just kind of keen to see all of them come to fruition and figure out when this transfer window is going to happen. So coming back to the subs things now, they're debating whether to have more subs on the bench as well, that just to ease people off of ease the stress on these players. And the other thing is, I think they're debating about neutral venues, especially for a couple of key fixtures. So London's mayor Sadiq Khan, he's super skeptical about the London derbies. There are a few of them left, and they're pretty high intense matches. There's the Merseyside derby that's left as well, that's going to be high intensity, and also the game in which Liverpool eventually wins.
Right.
They're worried that if that game is in Liverpool, then, you know, like a lot of supporters might show up. So a lot of police chiefs have concerns about this, because they sort of take care of the security day to day. So they know what's at risk. So I think a lot of that might get eased or might get sorted through in the meeting the Premier League chiefs are having today, the club chiefs and stuff. So we'll catch you guys up in terms of what happens there. But just happy to have football back, and the thought of knowing that 17th June I can watch the EPL and La Liga and Serie A, my beloved Serie A, coming back as well. We know Bundesliga is there and it's helped ease everything. But to have the thought of starting mid-June till literally August end, to not have a single day without football, just makes me happy, dude.
Absolutely. I mean, quickly going back to the subs thing, case in point, you know, Chelsea and Lampard with his young revolution. We've already got 18, 19, 17-year-olds either get a taste of first-team football. With the extension on the bench, dude, we're going to have Lampard's kiddos at 10, 11 years old make the bench. Like, it's going to be insane. And coming to the derbies and London derbies, Look, I hate to say it. I'm not a fan of Tottenham when it comes to Daniel Levy. I love Pochettino. Mourinho's obviously legacy. And it's always interesting to see what your neighbors are doing. However, the nastiness or the open forum that the internet is, we've seen some really witty, sarcastic, but at the same time brutal stuff. And one of them said that we've had a COVID positive case at Spurs. And they say that the only positive thing at Tottenham Hotspur is a COVID positive case.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's brutal, dude. That's uncalled for.
That's horrible. I mean,
it's like a cheap shot.
As uncanny as it is, as witty as it is, that's way below the belt.
Yeah, that's definitely not coming from a Spurs fan. Or is it, do you think?
I mean, here's the thing. If I was Daniel Levy, I totally consider Spurs fans saying shit like that.
You know, the other thing that, Shreyas, you and I haven't even thought about or spoken about for months now. Fantasy football is back, baby.
Bro, fantasy football is back for all of us except you. You've got nothing. There's nothing left for you.
Wait. I mean, I'm honestly saying this. I don't remember where we left last season or this season. I feel like I was mid-table somewhere.
That's the thing. In your subconscious, you've already given up, because that's the right thing to do. That's a body response. It's your defense mechanism. It's your coping mechanism.
Look at you just come out like all guns blazing, taking shots at me, dude. Take it easy. I'm just happy fantasy's back. I'm gung-ho about it. What's going to be a bitch to keep track of? And firstly, I don't even know how fantasy is going to resume. Is it just going to be that, okay, game week 30, now it's game week 31, now it's game week 32. Right. What does five subs mean? How does that translate to a fantasy sort of strategy? Will I be changing my team every 3 days? That's going to get a little manic, man. There are going to be a lot of game weeks that are just going to go like, oh, new game week. This is not the old game week. So,
which is exactly why you're just not going to be able to keep track. Like, you're going to lose to yourself first and then me. So that's a double loss for you. So
are you even on, like, are you above me? I feel like you are. I need to check out. I'm checking our league right now. I'm on 7th and you're on 5th. Relax, bro. You're like 30 points above me.
I've always been above you. You are God, 6 foot, God knows how many inches. I am still above you.
God, dude. But this is going to be fun, man. I can't wait for Fantasy and however this plays out. It's going to be a nice sort of like a Blitz version of Fantasy, which we've never played before. So it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of climbing up and climbing down the ranks is going to be dependent on just someone missing out on the game week. I can guarantee that. Right. So that's going to be fun to rub into people's faces as well. So apart from like the transfer market and this sort of... coherence in terms of how logistically each match is going to function. I think we're pretty much there in terms of updates and news that we have from the world of Project Restart. But there's a lot from the other side of football, right? The one that got me excited the most was Champions League, man. Champions League football is now going to be
Palika version of Euro.
Why? Why is it Palika version? It's what's the opposite of Palika version? I don't even know.
Original,
like
bro.
Gucci version.
Gucci.
Oh, original. Yeah, sure. Because think about it. It's now there is no distraction of league football. It's going to be Champions League football only during all of August. There are 17 fixtures left. Sorry, there are 17 fixtures left in this season's Champions League campaign, right? And right. UEFA is literally considering three matches or matches every 3 days during August. So this is assuming that the first week of August, we'll be done with all of our leagues. So I think August 7th is when they're aiming to restart Champions League football and Europa League knockout stages.
Right.
And twice a week games, semifinals, I think they're targeting 18th and 22nd. And the final on the 29th. This is going to be so much fun. All of August is only going to be Champions League football. It's literally going to be like the World Cup. Except Euros, actually.
Right, I get that. But you also need to understand that Chelsea is pretty much out. And Juve is probably going to go, if not all the way, like up there. So it's not so fun. But yeah, no, I get it.
Dude, you cannot only follow on enjoy football if Chelsea is involved.
No, that's true. I mean, I'm a fan of football first and I get it, but...
Because you have probably then never been a fan of Champions League except for that one season.
Oh, bro, we made the semifinals and finals like crazy throughout the first decade of the 21st century, so...
Oh, that one? That first one?
Anyways, No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think this comes from the anxiety of the fact that as much as we're so glad that the Bundesliga got us started off with that German efficiency, and now the others are playing catch up. France is totally canned this season. I can't wait for football to come back. It's going to be super intriguing to see these different formats play out like this. But at the same time, the beauty of specifically the Premier League is that majority of the four teams from England eventually reach the knockout stages. Some of them end up making semifinals, finals. Liverpool has been representing like crazy. Tottenham not too far behind. At the same time, just to see the knockout stages start in Feb with Premier League, with FA Cup, you know, a team like Liverpool is fighting on trophies on four fronts. And we saw how City caught up last season. We saw how they destroyed Liverpool in that January onwards run, which we've broken down and analyzed so many times. I'm afraid that yes, we'll get something different, but we won't get as something as good or as interesting or as hot as that fixture congestion. As do you prioritize the Champions League over the Premier League or vice versa? We're not going to see any of that. So theoretically, maybe from a numbers perspective, City does have a chance, but now that Liverpool get to do the Premier League first, then they get to do the Champions League after that.
Wait. Liverpool's out of the Champions League.
They
lost to Atletico.
Oh, yes.
Have
they lost? Oh, yeah, they did lose.
The first legs that had yet to be completed, I think, was Juve Lyon and City Real. I know Lyon's up like 1-0 against Juve, and City won the first leg against Real 2-1. That's going to be a great game, actually.
Right. No, so it won't.
Bayern and Chelsea. I think Chelsea is yet to play, and the second leg, and Barcelona and Napoli. Just to wrap that up. Sorry, go on.
Correct. So that's what I'm saying. So even from City's perspective, we won't get to see how do they continue to fight, because they've never fucking gone past that quarterfinal stage. So,
but they've got such a good chance now. They're already up 2-1. And the beauty of it being in August is that it's not like these guys will be playing rusty football. Like 100% the Champions League month in August will be when these teams will be playing their best football. Because June and July, they've gotten the rustiness out of the way. They've gotten the league stuff out of the way. They're going to be in like good condition, hopefully injuries notwithstanding. So I think that August month will be actually very competitive in terms of the football played. And it's going to be for a trophy, the best trophy out there.
Right. I mean, I get it. I'm trying to be cautiously optimistic, but at the same time, I'm more cautious than optimistic because, as great as has it been to get football resumed with the Bundesliga, just to see an empty Signal Iduna Park, to see Sancho and Haaland, you know, celebrate goals on that side of the stand, the where you have the standing part and not the seats. It's so weird, and
I mean, but what's the trade-off, man? We're living in a weird time, and would you rather not have football? Obviously not, right?
So I'm just saying that it's gonna
I think
be...
you're just really scared because overturning a 3-0 deficit over Bayern Munich is going to be very hard for you guys. So I can understand your skepticism of having champ. You would rather have the Champions League season chalked, right?
No. Chelsea's going to fight it. We did it in 2012 in Munich at Munich.
Right.
Not exactly the same thing here, but we're gonna go down with a fight. That's for sure. But no.
No, for sure, man. For sure. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know.
It's going to be fun. I'm super excited about the Champions League season and football overall as well. Right. And it's going to be pretty well because I obviously it slipped my mind in terms of how these second legs were set up. So I just did a quick recap. Now Liverpool lost 2-3 in the second leg to Atletico, and Atletico ended up winning 2-4, so they got knocked out. And PSG beat Dortmund, which is something we forgot. Do you remember the that was that crazy match with the stadium ban, and like that was the first like no fans in the stadium because it's Corona's here, but kind of it's fine because let's play football. It was in that weird sweet spot. And that was a meditation celebration game. So PSG won that 2-0 to knock Dortmund out. Now those guys are in there. Juve and Lyon still have to play. Lyon's up 1-0. No doubt what's going to happen there. And City and Real are... City's up 2-1. And this game is... Yeah, this game is going to be in City's home as well. So this is going to be a fun game too. And then it's Bayern-Chelsea, obviously, like we mentioned, at Bayern. And Barcelona-Napoli, which is tied at 1-1. And that's going to be the match at Camp Nou. This is good. Right. Some pretty interesting stuff set up, man. And the teams, it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, just restarting this. And it's going to be weird for teams, especially Lyon, Juve, City, Real, Bayern, Chelsea, Barca, Napoli, to directly play a second leg of their fixture. I think that's going to be a weird situation to be in. Right. Especially if you're, for example, for Real, they're already down 2-1, they're playing in City. So it's like, you know, you haven't played football for so long, all of a sudden you just slide into a second leg of a fixture that you're already losing. That has to be a weird sort of mentality situation that coaches will need to take care of, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And another thing I'm looking forward to is not particularly sex mannequins or sex dolls in the stadiums, but we had some Bundesliga teams mimic crowd noises. We've had them.
Wolfsburg did that.
Right. We've had them take photos of fans so that they can paste them on the grounds. I hear the Emirates Stadium is gonna put videos on massive screens of their fans.
Yeah.
So
yeah, this I think you can trust the EPL to have the best sort of solution to this, just because of innovation and how much like relies on that league and stuff like that. So we safe to say there'll be something. If at least I'm expecting stadium fan noises to be a part of it. And then I read about this whole Zoom setup with screens for fans and stuff like that as well. I think that's going to be a little weird to pull off. And even for fans to be just screaming in their living rooms at a webcam, that's going to be a weird feeling too, right? I loved stadium noises. I heard them in the... I feel it was the Dortmund-Wolfsburg game, and I loved it. I loved it because it took anything that takes away from the fact that you're playing in an empty stadium, man. Honestly helps.
You can't trust Arsenal to play top-notch football and challenge for the top, but you can expect them with their fancy stadium to do stuff like that. So go Arsenal. But what I'm looking forward to most is you reminded me of PSG Dortmund's empty stadium match. Yeah. And if you notice Neymar, he's looking across the stadium, clapping at the crowd, and there's no crowd. I am dying to see that for every leg, and I hope PSG make it to the final. And I shit you not, he will do that for every freaking game, because it's just muscle memory. Even if you confuse him with crowd noises, he'll just clap at the crowd, and there's no crowd there. Here's how it could get worse. There could be something that looks like a sex doll, and then that's going to put a rape allegation on Neymar.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
See, this is what happens when we're deprived of football, people.
Yeah. Also, yeah. This something I completely skipped for some reason, because I didn't see that match day, was that Tottenham's also knocked out. I forgot their encounter with Leipzig. So Leipzig's through aggregate 4-0. They ended up winning 3-0 at home and then beat Spurs 1-0 at... is it White Hart Lane? Is it Spurs Stadium? What is it called?
No, it's called Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and they're calling that temporarily till they get a sponsor.
I'm calling it White Hart Lane till I don't.
Can you call it? Can you call it White Hart Lane 2.0 at least?
That's too much. Too many syllables. The other interesting match from that, which I kind of want to touch upon, is Valencia Atlanta.
Ouch! Now, European COVID hotspot.
Yeah, so there's a lot of backlash that Gasperini, who's the coach of Atlanta, has been facing this past week. So they ended up winning, I think, 4-1 when the match was at Atlanta. And then they traveled to Valencia. This is the 11th of March. So everything was at its... Well, it was kind of ramping up, right? So 11th of March, and then the 12th of March games is when Paris played behind closed doors in Dortmund. And then the 18th of March was supposed to be round two of the second leg, where football was already suspended by then. Right. So it's very, very like right at that time when it sort of started breaking out. So Atlanta travels to Valencia. Atlanta wins 4-3, eventually 8-4 on aggregate. But Gasperini, who's the coach of Atlanta, just came out with a statement last week saying that when he traveled to Atlanta, when he traveled to Valencia, he was feeling some sort of symptoms.
Symptoms, right.
So it's just like, you know, as an individual and then as an organization, obviously your morality is going to be thrown in under the bus in this situation, just because anger and frustration and stuff like that. But like, even at that time, it's not like people knew what and how to proceed and how to be. Obviously, it's very irresponsible for you that if you think that you... Fine, if you have a flu, whatever. But if you think that you have COVID-19 and then you travel with your entire team to another country, it's highly irresponsible. But a lot of people have been also putting blame in terms of this is like the patient zero situation. This is what led to the spread of COVID across Valencia and across Spain overall and stuff. So I don't know if there's any merit to truth to that. Definitely what he did was irresponsible. If he knew it and if other people in that organization knew it, and if they kind of suspected that it was COVID, then they had a responsibility in terms of telling the relevant authorities and then letting them decide what to do with the match, right? Don't take it into your own hands and be like, oh, I'll be fine or whatever. But now we know that it's such a dangerous situation. At that point in time, we didn't. But it's also like a sort of a yin and yang in terms of how much blame. It's like the Rudy Gobert thing, the NBA basketball player, if you know about him. Right. He was the first player to get diagnosed. He actually made a joke about it. And then the day after that, he got diagnosed.
No, obviously, he did. Can you tell us exactly what he did? Because that just takes the cake.
Yeah, so he's sitting in a pre-game, not a pre-game, or like a press conference. I think it was a practice match or some practice situation. So he's sitting in a press conference with like generally, you know, the mics in front of you. Gets asked about COVID, jokes about it. He's like, yeah, whatever. And then he gets up to leave. And then he comes back and then he just touches all the mics with his hand as a joke, laughs. Some reporters also laugh, and then he just like in a fun way just runs out of the thing. And then the day after that, he's the first NBA player to get diagnosed as positive.
Yep, and his told team me that he voted for Trump.
He's French, dude.
Okay, let's call him a Trump supporter then.
I don't think he's a Trump supporter. I don't think anyone in the NBA probably is. But the thing is that that became team zero, patient zero in the NBA. And then he plays for the Utah Jazz. So the Utah Jazz versus the New Orleans Pelicans was the first game to get officially canceled. And then the NBA season by default got suspended. But it's not like if he wouldn't have cracked that joke, he wouldn't have been positive the next day, right? That was happening regardless. So right. The issue is that, fine, he did something stupid and he got some level of hate, but knowing the internet and knowing just people in their doofusness, he got vilified to an extent where they like ban him, fine him, completely ban him forever from the NBC. What the hell are you talking about, dude? Like he did something that was obviously, like, I think the Gasparini and the Rudy Goldberg things that are at much different levels,
right? Right.
Like Gasparini allegedly knew he had something, whereas right. Goldberg is just like, he's just goofing off, man. He's like a 28-30 year old just goofing off, right?
No, so, but that's the thing, you're a role model, you're an icon, people look up to you, young and old.
Yeah. And he made a mistake. And yeah, he's the first one to agree to it. But the hate he got, dude, I mean, I can't even deep dive into it, but like for at least two and a half months, it was as if he created coronavirus and he brought it into the world. And worse, yeah. Right? Like the death threats and all of that. Like dude, right. Relax. Like that, just like ease off the pedal there as well, right? So hopefully that Gasparini doesn't go through any of that. But obviously, like, people were irresponsible. People made mistakes. I think the Atlanta thing is at a much different level than Rudy Goldberg's just foolishness, I would say.
I mean,
so it's a lot going around there, man.
I don't know. I mean, it's an extremely tricky thing to not just lash out and figure out policies, figure out reprimand, figure out punishment, figure out, you know, black and white gray areas. And I'm going to talk about this article that I read in reference to just how serious and how big of a part of people's lives, in terms of sport and stuff. And there's this British journalist, and he goes to Brazil for the 2014 World Cup. And he gets invited to this, one of his Brazilian guides or Brazilian journalist friends. They invite him to a family house to watch, I believe, the Brazil-Chile pre-quarters. And, he's treated like a VIP. He's part of the family. They're laughing. They're playing. Not everyone can speak English. Yet, he feels like he's one of them. And once the match actually started, he said, oh my God, I can feel the tension. Everyone's gone quiet. The patriarch of the family, he's wearing his lucky hat. And all of a sudden, being such a generous host, now suddenly I was feeling pressure. And obviously I became an overnight Brazil fan and I wanted Brazil to win. And that match didn't go that well. Brazil takes the lead. Alexis Sanchez equalizes. And then it goes to extra time. Brazil is totally on the way out, and they're lucky to make it to penalties. And this guy feared for his life. Long story short, they were asking him to remove his sandals because they thought it was unlucky. They checked his feet and they said, you have cold feet, that's unlucky. And the looks he was getting, the stuff that they were telling him, he didn't know if he could leave safely. And he's not making this up. He's not, saying this because he has to write an article about it. He said that they believed that he was Brazil's bad luck and they just scraped through with Chile. He makes it out of that house alive. We all know what happened against Germany after that. So,
yeah,
just taking that into consideration, sport plays such a huge, almost unfathomable, unmeasurable, extent in people's lives, that when stuff like this happens, which is out of the ordinary, which is unprecedented, which is left of center, you will have this weird backlash. You will have this weird stuff. I mean, we've been even seeing it in the NBA documentary about Jordan and The Last Dance. And we're seeing some really weird, nasty shit. So I think it's just part and parcel. It's the juggling game of being a top-level professional, earning those millions of dollars, and having these people scream and shout and idolize you. I think it's part of the job, but at the same time, yes, I agree, they're humans, and it sucks sometimes what they have to put up with.
I agree, dude. I agree with everything you've said, and there is a responsibility there, and for the most part, these guys do a pretty good job at it, and they are also human at the end of the day, so forgiveness is has to be a part of the package, but more often than not, they're never forgiven and they've actually blamed more than they should be. But it is what it is, like you said, it is a big part of people's lives, so they do end up taking a lot of happiness out of it and then sadness out of it as well at the same time. So it just becomes a tough thing to sort of juggle between.
Yep.
Anyway, so yeah, a very human sort of touch for us to end this episode. Just to recap, EPL starting June 17th, La Liga starting June 11th. Serie A officially starting June 20th, but they're going to wrap up the two semis and the final of the Coppa Italia before the season even starts, which I think is excellent. So,
but just going back on what you're saying of how the Champions League is played later, so everyone will be super fresh. Don't you
not
think
fresh,
that
but like team? But like more in tune with like match day fitness as opposed to June 17th if the EPL is starting, they're going to be super rusty, right? The risk is that they might be very tired because all of half of June and all of July they'll be playing back to backs like crazy. So there's a big chance that by the time August comes, they'll be exhausted and the level just drops because of that.
Right. Yeah, so it's actually going to be super, super interesting to see all these leagues, what they're doing, how they're doing. And in fact, coming back to Project Restart, like, you don't approve of it. So do you have another name in mind or you just would rather not have a name at all?
I would not rather have a name. Either that or each league has their own name.
No, so here's the thing. It's the EPL. It's the Britishers. And for me, in fact, I don't think so. They're doing enough with that name. It's not Project Restart. It's Project Football.
Ooh, I like that.
Exactly.
I like that. Let's petition for the FA to change. Anyway, so yeah, that wraps up this week's episode. We have some cool stuff planned out for you guys for next week, along with anything new that comes out from the world of football. I'm looking forward to a formalized transfer window so that at least I'm kind of getting sick of these transfer rumors and stuff. I've actually stopped reading them.
I'm sick of the player swaps, man. There's going to be too much of swapping. Like we've heard rumors that that Barcelona are going to buy Pjanic from Juventus and then give him to Inter for Lord Martinez.
Wait, what? Dude, yeah. Don't bring me up to speed with rumors. They're just going to mess me up in the head. I want the transfer window to get formalized. Then I'm going to look at one round of rumors and then I'll just wait for the transfer window just to see what the build up to that is going to be looking like. So yeah, that's what we have in line for next episode. Stay safe, stay sanitized. I hope everyone's doing well and we'll catch you guys next week. Goodbye.
And don't forget to follow us on all social media @MunchaPodcasts.